This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Buffalo Happy Hour. I'm like, what in the world is happening?
I have poison ivy all over my body.
Seriously? From what?
I was in the woods on a UTV and brushed up something when we
What's
were...
What's a UTV?
UTV is a side-by-side golf cart.
Ultimate terrain vehicle?
I don't know what it's... Probably utility terrain? I don't know.
Oh, utility maybe?
Ultimate? We're going with ultimate. But it's a UTV. It's basically a jacked-up golf cart. And already, come on. Cheers, Derek. This is good. It's as good as I remembered. We're drinking Buffalo Trace bourbon. I'm not wearing a hat today either.
You're not, and the hair's flowing. All right, go back to the poison ivy. We'll get back to the hair. The hair.
Yeah, the hat and the hair combined.
Yep.
So the... poison ivy's on my ankles. It's on my cheek, my right cheek. I feel it as I'm speaking to you. Drives me bonkers.
And that's the side that gets recorded.
Nailed it.
Where's the makeup artist?
I know. Give me the powder. Bare minerals only. Make sure it matches my skin tone. And then I also got it on the inside of my right bicep. But yeah, it's driving me bonkers. So
what's the cure to it?
There's a scrub that you can shower with. And then it basically gets rid of it. I don't know if it just... dilutes the oil or what, but this hasn't burst yet, so it's not too bad. But when it bursts from irritating it, because I might scratch it in my sleep, then it's going to spread. Once it spreads, you don't want that. Yeah. So I'm going to go home and scrub myself.
Did you get it a lot when you were deployed or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I was in the field, I had it. It's the worst.
Do you know? So everybody knows, like, the, what is it, four leaf? I don't know what it is. Four leaves is poison ivy?
It's three leaves that are green with red sprinkled in through the, and then it's got pointy edges going all the way around.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen it in person. That's why
it looks just like a normal weed. You would never know it. And then when you get up super close, then you see the little bit of red, and you're like, oh,
sprays you.
Oh, no.
But, I'm in danger.
Yeah, my buddy, we had to set up a... you know, set up defense. So he lays down and then he looks at me and he goes, don't lay here. I'm like, I have to lay here. Like, this is my sector. And he's like, find a new sector. I'll cover it. I was like, why? He goes, this is all poison ivy. Don't do it to yourself. And I just look down and then it's everywhere. And I'm like, there it is. There it is. So I like slowly step back. I'm like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I got it all over my body. It was too late. It was terrible.
So like, do you actually have to touch it or
stomach down?
Really?
Yeah. It's the oils, man. If the oil is on anything and then it opens, it hits an open pore. It's it.
Can it get through clothes?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. And then it'll stay in your clothes. So then when you sweat, your sweat brings the oil with it.
Perfect.
And then it spreads, man. It spreads like wildfire. And you're sitting there just like, I'm not going to itch it. You just don't have a choice. You just itch it because it
can
feels incredible.
Can you slap it or that's still war? Because like the trick with tattoos, whenever you get a tattoo and it starts itching, you just kind of like pat it a little bit because
you don't, it's
itchy.
It's full of oil.
True.
Then you're just slapping oil all over the place. You don't want to do that. It'll make it worse.
What's the difference between that and poison oak? Obviously, it's an ivy and an oak, but...
I had both at the same time in Louisiana, and I have no idea. I don't know... I couldn't tell the difference. My whole body was gold from the oils, and it was just pussing. From chest down, I had chiggers. I had heat rash, which basically is just like salt in your pores.
Yeah.
Then, which, it's prickly heat. Then I had ants bite me in my sleep, so I woke up looking like a pizza. Then I had poison oak and poison ivy all at once.
Jesus Christ.
They literally just pulled me out of the field because I couldn't fit into my boots anymore. Once I took my boot off, my foot swelled and I couldn't fit my boot back on. So they're like, yeah, we got to pull you out because you can't even like walk.
What did they do?
Well, they sent me to like a medical place and they asked when the last time I showered was. And it's a really gross answer, but we got there like July 3rd. So the last time I showered was July 2nd. And then this was like early 20s, so I think it was like July 22nd or 23rd that I finally saw a medic, and they're like, yeah, dude, you haven't bathed in 20 days. We have to pull you out. Like, you can't even wear your boots. My feet would, like, slide in my socks from all the oil. It was just gross, dude. So I basically just used a ton of calamine lotion to fight through it, and then when I got to the medic center, they basically just, like, forced me to take the hottest shower that I could and then basically try to burn all the oil off. And that's all you can do is just scrub it and try to keep it as dry as possible. So then you just take a bunch of hot showers. You just boil yourself. You walk out like Mr. Krabs. And then you douse yourself in pink calamine lotion and then lay there in your bunk and just hope it stops. It was one of the worst things ever. I will go back to Louisiana if I have to, but I really don't want to go back to Louisiana.
Yeah,
in the
PTSD,
woods anyways.
Man.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, it's definitely the terror, you know?
The terror.
Yeah, I have dreams, I'm telling you. But yeah, it's just one of the worst things in the world. But I don't know. I know there's an appearance difference, but once it's on you, I don't, like the leaf, there's an appearance difference. But once it's on you, it's, I don't know, it just kind of like blends. My whole body was just a disaster. It's fine.
Jesus, man.
Everything's fine.
Does it grow in certain climates or something? Is that why it's more prevalent in the South?
I think heat has something to do with it, because when it gets cold, it obviously kills it a lot, similar to like ticks and the skeeters. But yeah, everything in the South wants to just harm you, you know? And then you go to Australia and there's just nothing but poisonous snakes. They want to eat you.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Except Zac Efron's in Australia right now trying to get away from life.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Just chilling.
Let's call him up.
He's trying to get away.
Have my people call his people.
Right. I still haven't finished it. I have two episodes left. So if you don't know what we're talking about Down to Earth.
You got to finish that show.
Which is a Netflix series around Zac Efron where he travels the world to understand what they're doing right and what the U.S. is lacking in.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
It's true. What do you mean you wouldn't go that far? That's the whole premise of the show. Oh, you got free water? The U.S. sucks at it.
That's
the whole premise of the show.
That's in reality, but that's not... I'm sure when the show was being drafted, that's not what the intent was. It's just that's what it evolved into.
Because, I mean...
Nothing wrong about it.
Everyone, like, I'm not doubting it. The U.S. has definitely some flaws. No one's saying that we're perfect.
No question.
But these countries that have less people or are in a different climate have the ability to do something that the U.S. hasn't figured out how to reasonably do it in the U.S. yet. So that's where it's getting to. And it's an interesting show. I think the last one that I watched was, which one? Jesus, now I can't even remember. Where we have seven and eight left.
Okay.
So we just finished. I forgot which one.
So
it was.
You saw Costa Rica.
Costa Rica was the last one. That was six.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I believe so. And then
Puerto Rico was the sixth. Puerto Rico, the Hurricanes.
Got it.
That's the last one that I watched.
Got it. Yeah. And then he goes to Costa Rica?
Costa Rica was before Puerto Rico.
He goes to like Brazil or something crazy where there's no cell phone service in the last episode. And then the seventh, I can't remember what the seventh was.
It's just so cool to watch him interact with everybody. And most people don't like know who he is unless you get the camera panning to the 5,000 15-year-old girls that are staring at him. But,
and the one guy in the background, which is me.
Yeah.
But that's fine. We won't talk about that.
But yeah, it's a very interesting show. I am intrigued on it. And right now, you're drinking purified water. I'm drinking spring water. So I'm healthier than you right now. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Either way, it came out of a bottle and we're wrong, but that's fine. It's fine. I want water. I want to taste the rock, man.
Yeah, the sulfur. You're just drinking raw eggs, it tastes like. Yeah. It's the worst.
It smells terrible, yeah. But it's hearty for you.
It is. I'll put hair on your chest. So speaking of hair, man, you got the flow going. Let's bring it back. What you got going on here?
I have no idea.
I'm shocked that you're not wearing a hat.
I need a haircut.
I didn't know you would go public with this right now.
Wow, is it that bad?
According to your standards, yeah.
Yeah, terribly. It's over my ears. It touches my neck. I don't like it.
There's no gel in it?
Nothing.
Nothing? So nothing. That's your natural wave?
Yeah, I have a colic, and my hair is trained at this point, but basically the colic is here, and then I have one in the back, but I just toss it.
Okay, so the one in the back, what is it like?
It's a zoo. What do you mean? It's just a
menagerie?
Pocket. Yeah, it's a pocket of just a cluster of I hate straight, so it just does its own thing.
Oh, so it's a curl. Yours is a curl?
I don't know. I can't see it. I can't see my forehead. I don't know what it is, but it's a mess. So we basically just cut it all the way down, and then I don't know. She does something crazy to it. She works wonders.
I have this one back here, too, and the hair just sticks straight up. So no matter how much gel I put in there, I'm always alfalfa walking around. And it'll pink up, like, in the middle of the day. It'll blink! And it'll just stick up the rest of the day, and it's just a terrible experience.
Yeah, it's the worst. Hats rule.
Yeah, they do. But do you really think the truth is that if you wear a hat, your hair falls out? We were talking about this the other day when we were golfing.
Is this on Mythbusters? Because it's got to be. Speaking of, dude, that guy passed away.
Which one?
Like the Asian scientist?
Oh, yeah.
He passed away, dude. Yeah. He had a brain aneurysm.
Damn.
Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
Anyways, I always bring down the conversation talking about death.
I know. We're talking about hair loss. And you're like, did you who died?
Yeah, so.
All right. Take it easy, Mike.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it could potentially thin your hair, right? Because doesn't your hair need, like, sun? I don't know. Photosynthesis. Doesn't that exist with hair? I'm totally full of it, man. I have no clue what's going on. I'm just going to sip some more bourbon.
That's something you do know a lot about. But when it comes to hair, yeah, I'm not sure.
No.
Because you see people with hair, and they always have thinning hairlines.
Hit the oogles. What does the oogle say? It's got to say something. I'm sure it's going to blame it on Rona, but...
Probably. No, it's probably going to come back, and it's going to be like, oh, you have thinning hair, you have cancer. And I'm going to be like, because that's how everything happens.
It's like, thanks, everybody. This is episode 44.
Yeah, really. Take care. We're not going to make it to 45.
Literally and figuratively.
Really, I don't have any service right now, so...
You don't have service in your own house?
No, dude, we're in the basement. No, I'm good. It just brought me to Alma Meadows, which you're still banned from.
For those that don't know or haven't seen the other episodes yet, which, if you haven't, you should, but we've been trying to golf at a local golf course, but Derek just forgot to show up for his tee time, so of course it was under my name, which most likely means I'm now banned from going to that golf course, so thanks, my dude. I appreciate you. Unbelievable.
All right, so starting off real quick with, do hats thin your hair? Just keep it simple. It comes from Keeps, a sponsor. No, I'm just kidding. They do sponsor a lot of shows, though. Keeps, have you heard of them?
No. So obviously they don't do enough.
They're quite a big sponsor. So they are... Never mind. I'm not going to go into it. But they can let me go into it if they sponsor the show. So the first result is, well, dear wearers of ball caps and bowlers. I don't know why bowlers are there.
Ew.
Rest assured...
Yo, hold on. Let me complete my outfit with my bowler real quick.
Ew. Rest assured, wearing hats does not cause hair loss. Actually, let us caveat that. If you consistently wear extremely tight hats, you can experience traction alopecia. So basically taking hat on and off, it's ripping the hair out. So that's the only way that you're going to experience thinning hair is if you continuously take your hat on and off and it's very tight, it's going to pull the hair follicles away from your head.
If it's toit.
It's toit.
Nice.
This is a very loose hat. It's really hard for me to find hats that are loose because my hat is like a 9, which is unheard of in this sphere.
True.
I had to get a 3XL motorcycle helmet. You know how much they price those things up?
Yeah, it's like $260.
It was crazy. Too much. So, no, I think I'm going to be wearing a hat from now until the rest of my life because it doesn't cause hair loss.
Nailed it.
But all the golfers, every single golfer has like a spot in the back where they're balding.
It's probably because they were deemed too talented to have a full head of hair on top of it.
You can either be a golfer or a full head of hair.
Yeah.
Or you can be like, there's this one, Ollie Schneider Jans. Look him up. He doesn't wear a hat when he plays. It's the weirdest thing in the entire world looking at him because he's the only one in the field that doesn't wear a hat.
Why doesn't he wear one?
He's got locks, man. He looks like a skater. Probably because his name's Ollie, but he it's just like a full head of hair. The only thing that he wears is a beanie if it gets cold out.
That's mint.
Yeah.
Can you imagine chilling on the PGA with a beanie?
Most people do.
That's a bro move.
Last year I was watching one of the PGA events, and they were all wearing beanies because it was so cold. And you know how when they introduce people, everybody goes like this to like thank everybody?
Yeah.
Well, Jordan Spieth was wearing a beanie, and he went like this to go like touch it, and nothing was there because it was a beanie. And he just like looked at himself like, why did I do that? It was really awkward.
Good times.
Yeah. But we went golfing, man. We finally got out there, huh?
Yeah. Sprained my elbow. Good times.
Did you really?
No, I'm fine.
Tennis elbow? Golfer's elbow?
Yeah, just a lot of ice. I went swimming a few times because my ball decided to just take a quick... Goodness. ball decided to take a quick swim. Not on the ball's fault. Definitely user error because I'm atrocious. But that's fine. No, we had a good time. We actually had a couple good drives. You drove into another hole's tee box, 300 yards away from our tee box.
It was amazing. It was a good time. With my three wood, too.
Nailed it.
So, killed it.
Yep.
And then, almost killed them. You should point that out.
Yeah.
Didn't just kill it. We killed them. It landed, and we got up there, and the guy's like, I heard a ball land. No, you're fine. Like, all right.
Perfect.
Time by me. Don't sue.
That's yeah, really. Mike
hit a chimney of a house, so that was fun.
We won't talk about that. Everything's fine.
Oh, God, that was a riot, dude.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So I think my posture is causing me to have rib pain. Does that sound right?
Who am I? What, do you think I got initials after my name? I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what year it is.
I did Google it because I'm neurotic and I want to Google all of my cancer symptoms. And I feel like my posture is causing my ribs to like go into a different way. And it's causing it to hurt, like down by my sternum.
Ah.
Either that or I did help move my friend Jamie and Jill into their house. And I was carrying their fridge and it got jammed into my chest. So I might have a broken rib too.
Or a bruised rib.
Could be. How long do bruised ribs take to heal?
Bruised bones take forever to heal because really? It's a bone. Yeah. It's a long, painful process. I bruised my sternum playing football, and it was terrible. I had the crown of a helmet hit my breastplate on my shoulder pads, like, which basically does nothing.
What did it feel like?
Oh, it felt like I broke my entire chest cavity. Really? Yeah.
Because, like, I'm feeling it here, and it spreads, like, to, like, the lower parts.
When you breathe in deep?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
me too. When I breathe in deep and when I, like, crouch a little bit, I can feel it, dude. It hurts really bad. If so, I'm getting that fridge for my own. I'm going to their house and grabbing it.
Sounds good. Just take that fridge.
It probably does explain why I have Samsung tattooed across my chest, because that fridge just came there and branded me. It was a hot day.
It's now iron. You got to throw some ink on it and make it real. You know, Samsung Nova Gertz. That's it, man.
What did you tell me the other day? You want to ride the waves?
Yeah, ride that wave. Ride the wave. Got it right there on my chest.
Mike's got a tattoo of a wave on his chest.
Yeah. I mean, with AUS under it, because you can't spell USA without AUS. So
I hate you so much.
I hate myself for having the tattoo.
Do you really?
No, I love this thing. The story behind it's amazing.
It, like tsunami, like just move those pecs? No,
it doesn't. It doesn't laterally
move. Can you
move
your pecs?
Yeah, but it doesn't laterally move like
Terry
that.
Terry Crews can make anything happen.
He's... Terry Crews can make anything happen. I give him that. But I'm able to move my pecs. I'm not able to make my pecs dance like Terry Crews.
Really?
That man can do things that I've never seen before on a human being. He dances with 50-pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
That's obnoxious. That's really heavy.
I get tendon sprains when I'm holding 50-pound dumbbells because I don't hold it right, and I hold it in my fingers rather than my palm.
Right.
This dude's dancing with them.
It's a whole nother level, man.
But he can make those pecs bounce, man.
Damn right.
I can't. I can, but right now it's all covered with fat, so they're not bouncing too much. They're more jiggling.
We all got six packs. Some are just hidden.
They're hidden very good. They're going to make it through winter. I'll tell you that much right now.
That's right.
Speaking of weather and everything, my week has been full of some ups and downs, man. Full of ups and downs.
Did we want to get into it, or you want to? Here's what
we'll do. We'll talk about the downs. We won't talk about the ups.
Correct. I don't want you to flip out, so I will give everyone the Synapsis nutshell version, because...
Yeah, Spark Notes, like I read.
Yeah, Spark Notes, for sure, because you do not read books. Also, I can't stand the fact that I just said for sure again.
For
throwback.
For sure. In our conversation, like 45 minutes ago, I used the word definitely too many times.
It's fine. You were confident.
I was confident, very confident.
So...
Stay tuned.
There was a storm. There was just a little bit of water that hit us. It was like 40 inches in 6 hours. So it was a monsoon. And Derek decided to purchase a home that is near a nearby creek, or as other people call it, a creek. But when you're from Buffalo, it's creek. So don't at me. And we essentially learned that the groundwater underneath your basement where we're sitting rises when the river, or I'm sorry, when the creek rises. And then during the rainstorm, the water pooled in your yard and decided to make its home in your foundation. So you had a little bit of water coming in again. So you spend 6 hours shop vacuuming the walls of your foundation, because your foundation is... brick. Made of...
like the brick, concrete bricks.
Concrete bricks, so it's not poured.
Right.
Okay.
So, for all of you, public service announcement here. When you go to look at a house, go to the basement. When you're looking, I'm no home inspector, but I feel like my home inspector should have told me about this. Anyway.
I agree.
So, when you're going to look at a house, you should go and get a concrete poured basement. That should be one of the things that you look for. Older houses don't have that, obviously. That's more of a newer house thing. But the concrete poured basement doesn't have as many issues when it comes to, like, the brick does. I don't want to say brick. It's concrete bricks. So, it's like your regular, I don't know, bricks. Not like bricks you see on the outside of the houses. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, so... when you have a vertical line like you had in your basement, it's not easy to patch up, but easier to patch up because you just drill a deeper crack and then you fill it in. When it comes to the brick slab that I have, the water meanders its way into the brick and then comes into the basement through all the different holes that are there. So basically, in short, the foundation that I have does not have any drain tile in it. So when the water rises, the water has nowhere else to go except in and force its way into my basement. So do not buy a house like I did. Rent, have your landlord pay for everything because this is not fun. My stomach has been in my shoe all day. I haven't been able to breathe. It could be the chest thing too because of the Samsung fridge. But I was not able to breathe because I saw the price tag on it. It's going to be expensive, man. It's going to be expensive. So I hit rock bottom pretty quickly.
No pun intended. So we are going to sell the house, yep. Move the podcast, and we will try to link up with you sometime in the next year.
Yeah, we are going to. So maybe not behind me. You might be able to see it a little bit. But behind Mike, in future episodes, you might be seeing some sort of construction going on. Because I basically have to take down all of the finished walls, except for this bad boy right here, the lucky guys. Because they need to basically redo the whole basement.
Your foundation needs a massive overhaul, which is not cheap. And here we are contemplating adulthood that we didn't have a choice in because back to death, every time we breathe, we're that much closer.
It's tough. It's absolutely tough. I don't understand how people live with a lease payment and a rent payment all the time. That's something that I don't understand. But I can also understand now why they do it a little bit, because owning something costs a lot of money. You're building equity, but man, does it suck when something goes wrong. I'm so sick of it. So today I look at Gina Journey and I'm like, what are we going to do? No idea. So okay. you just gotta do it, bite the bullet. And then this thing's going to be drier than the Sahara next year. Watch.
The driest, everyone knows.
So, Frankie's Basement Services.
Yeah, hashtag not a sponsor. Hashtag please be a sponsor.
Hashtag they'll be on an episode soon. He gave me some valuable information. Your glass block windows that have windows in there in the basement, don't open them. Don't do it at all. Because when you open it and there's warmer air outside and colder air down here, it creates more humidity in your basement than it needs to be.
That's why you have a dehumidifier.
Right, but not everybody has a dehumidifier.
Listen, so, if you don't have a dehumidifier and you own your home, it's $200. Okay. Go to your nearest Home Depot and then buy one. Mike, also, hashtag not a sponsor.
Mike, when did you buy your first dehumidifier?
When my basement also got sealed by Frank's Basement Services.
So again, not everybody has a dehumidifier. Since Mike just bought his last week, now he thinks he's an expert on
relax on the E word. All right. I'm not saying I'm an expert.
He's a pro.
Yeah. I'm an educated amateur is what I am.
That's basically what I wrote on my college diploma. I'm an educated amateur.
In all things world. Yeah. So speaking of world, let's dive into the history of Buffalo Trace.
Please do.
All right. Real quick. Why is Buffalo Trace named Buffalo Trace?
So... as everybody who watches our podcast knows, and this is me stalling because I had it up for a second ago and now I can't find it. So, okay, the reason that we started this podcast in the first place, and just so everybody knows, stop scratching your poison ivy. If you get oils on this table, I'm going to kill you.
Nothing burst, but I did notice that it's now moved to my forearm. So, cheers, friends.
Right, we're ending the episode now. Mike's going home. So, the reason that we started this podcast in the first place is not only to promote local businesses, but Mike and I love doing historical dives into these companies. Mike does a fantastic job every week providing you with the history of each distillery that we go through. Take a bow, please. One of the things that it's tough to find on these websites and all this is why the company calls themselves what they call themselves. It's easy to talk about why Buffalo Distilling calls themselves what they do, Three Chord, Cask and Crude, because they're local, smaller companies. But once you get into Buffalo Trace, it's a little bit harder to find this information. So I Googled, why do they call themselves Buffalo Trace Distillery? And the first option that came up is Wikipedia, which we all know is 100% accurate. And it says, the company says the name Buffalo Trace refers to an ancient buffalo crossing on the banks of the Kentucky River in Franklin County, Kentucky. The Sazerac Company purchased the distillery in 1992. So that's why they call themselves Buffalo Trace, is because of that buffalo crossing. Michael, get into the actual history of it, please.
All right, so in 1771, we're nice. Going way back.
Oh, yeah, five years before we really knew who we were.
Yeah, that's right. Talk about it, son. So in 1771, Daniel Boone, there's a name
no
for
way.
You. Daniel Boone.
He gets tied into this?
He passes through Leestown on the Buffalo Trace. Caveat to the info you gave. So all this information is off of their website, off of their timeline, from 1771 to present day. I skipped some of the stuff because it's extremely in-depth. If anybody wants the full version, subscribe, and then go to their website and then look it up. So 1786, Hancock Lee received title to the land of Leestown, Kentucky, 13 years after he surveyed it with the McAfee brothers. So in 1792 in Kentucky, it finally becomes the 15th state in the Union, right? Now, in 1792, Richard Taylor builds the Old Taylor House. So essentially, because of the timeline, all of their history is just like year what happened, right? So in 1811, a three-story warehouse is built on the Kentucky River near Riverside. So in 1858... a small but modern for the time distillery is developed by Daniel Swigert using the warehouse and Riverside site. Fast forward to 1870, Colonel Edmund Haynes Taylor Jr. purchases the distillery and christens it OFC in reference to the belief that the finest whiskey produced in old-fashioned that the finest whiskey is produced in old-fashioned wood-fired copper stills. In 1872, E.H. Taylor Jr. invests over 70,000 bones, bro. 70 grand.
Back then?
Yeah. And builds a new distillery on site. He basically invested his fortune.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, in 1881, warehouse A and B are built, and they still stand today on the current property. In 1882, though, there was a lightning strike that burned down the OFC and the Great Fire. So the OFC building that was built in 1870, or I'm sorry, yeah, it wasn't built, but it was purchased in 1870. That ended up burning down during a storm caused by lightning. Now, fast forwarding to 1919, after some changes with some additions and more warehouses and then people joining the company, because essentially over the course of that 100 years, they had all these other people come in, like master distillers, different owners, because the distillery started over 140 years ago.
Right.
But it basically kept changing names and then owners and distillers, but the plot of land stayed the same. And that's essentially where all the homage comes from. Right?
So, yeah, real quick, when you said 70 bones, what is...
$70,000.
$70,000. So, for everybody to put it into perspective, that's $1.5 million today.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, man. A
lot of money.
That's his whole fortune.
Yeah. So, in 1919, after some changes and additions were made, like warehouses and the people joining the company, the 18th Amendment establishing prohibition in January 1920 is ratified, and the Volstead Act is passed. Remember learning about the Volstead Act?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Throwbacks, dude. So that's
Daniel
passed.
Boone was a throwback.
Right, and that was passed to guide the enforcement, right? Now, the distillery is one of the very few to receive a permit to bottle medicinal whiskey, and then they got another permit that most didn't get at all, that allowed them to produce new whiskey from 1930 to 1933. So those years, obviously prohibition.
Yeah.
So they got permits to produce new whiskey and then also make and sell medicinal whiskey during prohibition. So after prohibition, there's only like four distilleries in Kentucky that were allowed, that actually still existed.
Yeah, survived.
Yeah, and they're one of them, right?
Wow, that's pretty
sweet.
So
in 1930...
Jesus Christ, this just keeps sticking, man.
Goodness, dude. 1937, the Great Flood inundates the distillery, which it crested 17 feet above the power plant and 4 feet above Warehouse H. There was a flood that was 17 feet of water.
You should call Frankie Basement Services.
Let me tell you something. How you doing? If you need a quote, you call Frankie's Basements. Let me tell you, he'll drive down. He'll talk to you. I'm sure he'll give you some great Italian cooking, not only for you, but the entire distillery. So in 1942, they produced their 1 millionth barrel. In 1942, during World War II, they produced their 1 millionth barrel.
Jesus.
So in 1999, Buffalo Trace becomes the new flagship brand. Mm-hmm. Sure. So in 2000, they were awarded the Whiskey Advocates Distillery of the Year, making them the first American distillery to win the international award. That was a huge deal.
Oh my gosh.
So then in 2008, they made their 6 millionth barrel.
Wow.
Right? Then in 2013, Buffalo Trace is named a National Historic Landmark. Then in 2015, they buy an additional 400 plus acres.
Oh my Homestead gosh, that's
Act. A huge... Just crushing it, dude. Crushing it. They're just buying all the land for all the things. And now, Buffalo Trace has won more awards than any American distillery to date. Like, this whiskey has won so many awards, it's almost, like, tough to list. I ran out of paper.
Yeah.
People. Like, Microsoft Word was like, dude, chill out. Like, there's too many spaces. Like, I never thought I'd
reach... more ink.
Yeah, I never thought I'd reach a character limit on Microsoft Word. But basically, this thing wins gold, like... Every since time. Its creation, yeah, it's not even fair. So this is it, man. Buffalo Trace.
All right, give it a C. No, I'm just
kidding. Cheers. Price point on this bad boy retail, 30 bones.
And what? That's a
so same price mark as Devil's River,
right? And that's a much smaller bottle.
No. This is 18.
Oh, that's 18. Okay.
750 milliliters is $30.
Jeez. All right, so we're saving this for our birthday episode, too.
Okay. We can just buy more, because you're going to crush this.
It's true.
Dude, especially after the week you just had.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's going to be gone before this episode's over. That's super interesting. And you can taste, for such a budget bourbon, they could charge so much more for this.
It's produced... The quantity amount that they produce this is just insanity. It's so much whiskey.
So they can afford to have it cheap.
Yeah. I know for a fact, hashtag not a sponsor, please be a sponsor. Wanaka Liquors buys this by the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can go there and buy this as well.
Where'd you get
this one from? I got this. Yo, Tim Elma Wine and Liquor, shout out. Thank you for, again, having everything we need. So walked in there, looked at a couple options, and then I was like, we actually haven't done Buffalo Trace, and their history is sensational.
Yeah.
So let's just pick it up. So swung in there, grabbed a bottle, came right here.
I'm so excited to do this whiskey review.
I know.
This is such a dynamic taste for the price.
Well, let's crush the cocktail section so we can get through that, and then we can dive into the rest of it.
Sounds good.
Drop the beat for the cocktail section.
Cocktails.
I tried to look away so I didn't make you laugh again.
I saw that.
Okay.
You're getting good at this.
So my cocktail's the Beach Roaming Buffalo.
Ooh.
I chose it because the mental image is just amazing. It's 1 ounce of Buffalo Trace, right here. Don't get confused. 1 ounce of sour mix. 1 ounce orange juice and one dash of grenadine bitters. So, you crush that. Hold on. I got the instructions. Alright, so we have... The instructions are actually really simple for this. All you do is you stir over ice in a tall glass... Fill with lemon lime soda and add a dash of grenadine, garnish with an orange wedge.
Nice.
So, fairly simple cocktail. Obviously, the bourbon's sensational. Try it out. Let us know what you think. Drop a comment.
Oh, yeah. And if you haven't checked yet, we have a listing of all the cocktails that we've done on our Instagram page. It's going to be linked there to a Google Doc where you can find all the stuff that we reviewed so far, as well as their final rating, price, and the cocktails that we recommended with it. That way, when you're going out and you want to buy something, you can just look and reference that sheet and know exactly what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
All right. I'm going to turn to my inner Italian to read this one out.
That's what I'm talking about.
Watch this. All right. This is called the Buffalo Brew. We got 1.5 ounces of Buffalo bourbon, 1/2 ounce of Amaro Maletti, 2 strong cold brews, just cold brew coffee, 2 ounces of the strong cold brew coffee, 1/4 of an ounce of rich Demerara simple. I'm sorry. 1 dash of orange bitters. 2 dashes. I'm gonna obliterate this one. Of Bitterman's Zolcatl mole bitters, and then homemade Burman cream. That's what you top it with. The step one. There's only one step, so I don't know why they said step one. Shake all ingredients except for the cream with ice. Strain into a large Nick and Nora glass. No Brian and Nora. Nick and Nora. Put in a Nick and Nora glass. Top with cream and espresso bean.
When you serve this, what do you tell the customer?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah, say hi to your mother for me. Hey, let me get that bacon, egg, and cheese, huh? Let me get that bacon, egg, and cheese.
Hey, how you doing?
I love that, man. Mess. That's amazing. You want to know why the Second Amendment is my favorite amendment? It takes two. Bada bing, huh? How you doing?
All right, this is the end of the 44th episode. That combines two of my favorite things. I went to the doctors for the first time in 10 years the other day.
We have to discuss this.
And I told them the only three things that I drink are water, whiskey, and coffee. That's it. That's the only, I'll have an occasional beer from now and then. Obviously, we review beer. We got to have beer every now and then. But that's the only three things that I drink on a consistent basis is water, whiskey, and coffee.
I'm sure
in that order.
I'm sure your doctor looked at you and said, you're the prime example of health.
Yeah. Oh, I told him because I tell everybody this. He's like, I told him, maybe should I not drink as much coffee? He's like, nah, I mean, coffee is like, you know, you can drink whatever. How much do you drink? I go, 6 cups. He goes, yeah, you want to cut back on the coffee. Actually, I told him 10 cups. I cut back to 6 cups. I told him 10 cups, and he goes, yeah, you should probably cut back on that. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
What's he at? Did you flip it? Yeah. Flip the script.
I'm like, what are you at? He goes, I don't drink coffee. It's bad for you. I'm like, thanks. Perfect.
Yeah, no, really.
He's, 4 cups of coffee is normal.
Is it?
Yeah. Four. So when I talk in cups, I'm not talking individual coffee cups. I'm talking about when you put the water into the coffee machine, you put 10 ounces in there. So I really drink 10 ounces of coffee, not 10 cups of coffee.
Yeah, but it's numbered. It's numbered 2, 4, 6, right. 8, 10, 12.
So I put 10
ounces. Which is what, 12 cups?
Yes.
Is the number on the side of the coffee maker cups or ounces?
If you think I have the answer to that question, you're wrong.
I think it's cups. We got to figure that out.
I think it's cups too,
because...
But each cup, if you're talking about a cup, this is 2 ounces. It's going to drop again. It's 2 ounces of coffee.
Just Google it quick, because here's the thing. I don't know... First of all, I don't know the answer, so I want to know, because my curiosity took over. But secondly, I want to know if my mug is actually more than a cup or not. It should be a mug equals 1 cup of coffee, a standard pour mug that you would buy at Bed Bath & Beyond, right? But
Okay. So most coffee makers have numbers on the side of the carafe, aka coffee pot, to indicate how many cups of coffee it will make. But don't be fooled. These are not actual liquid cups. These numbers normally represent the number of 5 ounce mugs of coffee you will yield if you filled your carafe to that level.
So basically, 5 ounce
cups of coffee. So that means that if you fill it up to 2, that means you're having 10 ounces of coffee.
Who the hell's going to tell their doctor, I have 15 ounces of coffee per morning?
Right. So I have, okay, so let's calculate this really quick. So I, back before, I decided to go on a little lifestyle change, not diet, lifestyle change.
It'd be 50 ounces.
Yeah, I would have 10, so that'd be 50 ounces of coffee I would drink, which are 2. Yeah. So 10 cups, 50 ounces. So I would actually have 10 cups of coffee a day. And he goes, yeah, you have to dial it back. I'm like, that's what I'm doing, Doc. It's crazy.
So it equates to 5 ounce intervals.
Correct. So if you were to
fill up. So I'm at 5.
If you were to fill up a 5 ounce cup, how much in your travel, how much
coffee? So when I pour water in from my travel mug, it rises to 5. It's in between 4 and 6.
So that means you have 5 times, so 25 ounces of coffee you're drinking. Because it's 5 ounces per.
Yeah, but 2. There's barely any water in there.
Yeah, it's 25 ounces.
Yeah,
you gotta remember. Yeah,
an ounce is nothing. So.
So I drink double what you do.
Yeah.
What we're getting.
I barely need coffee. I just wake up juiced, bro.
But now I'm down to 6. So now I'm on par with you.
Yeah. That's
no
it.
No pun intended.
I'm cutting mine to 2.5.
Yeah. If I have to knock it down, you really got to knock it down.
Yeah, because I really don't need it.
Right. been feeling good, though, lately without coffee.
You look good.
Thanks, dude. I'm down like 25 pounds. I'm killing it.
What do you think? Does he look good? Let him know. Drop a comment.
You like this new shirt? Not a sponsor, but could be a sponsor. Short par 4. All your golfing needs. All of them.
Sick, dude.
I love this shirt. It's got like little grills on it. It's got like two different types of grills. Rack. Guns. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's got like everything on there. It's just a cool little summer shirt. Nice. And it's very breathable.
Yeah, that's what you need. I actually got to subscribe to that.
You should. It's cool because it comes every month and you don't think about it. I got Cleo a subscription box. Did I tell you about that?
She loves it. Yeah, you did.
She's so bougie, man.
Yeah, she's a bougie pup. She's a bougie pup.
She loves it.
I know. She like lives in Oyster Bay. Bringing it back to previous episodes.
All right, so before we get to the whiskey rating, what else do we got coming up? Because let's fill the people in on what we got
coming up. So we have Macy's Place Pizzeria, Resurgence Brewing, Frankie's Basement Services, Bull Creek Strategic,
Open Arms Rescue, Hollerhorn Distillery,
Three Chord Bourbon. Then we have...
That's all within the next like 3 weeks, too, guys. We're packed
until
the middle of August.
There's a lot going on. End of August.
Yeah, end of August, yeah.
Then we got another brewery potentially in the works. We have another winery potentially in the works. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. You know, we're out here. We're trying to grind to provide good content for y'all so you can, I don't know, follow us on some journey, I guess. We'll figure it out.
Not that journey.
Yeah, not that journey. A different journey. The real journey. The journey's on the journey. Picture that.
What a mess.
Well, let's write this thing.
All right. What do we got? We're juiced today, man. We're talking fast. People are going to have to real... Don't itch.
Ah, dude, it's don't killing itch. Me. I got to get home. I literally got to scrub this. It's killing me.
So we're going to drag this part of the podcast out. This is thought for your thoughts. Let's write this thing now. Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Initial thoughts. What do you like about it?
It's a perfect everyday drinker, and it's the great price point. It's 90 proof, 45% ABV. However, it doesn't necessarily hit, right? Or my tolerance is just through the roof because I'm an animal. Damn. But it's smooth. It's a nice, it's a low burn. It's nothing crazy. The burn is kind of, it's a high hug. It kind of sits in the mouth, nothing crazy. And it does, it performs well. It really does. It doesn't linger too long, but it gives you all the tasty notes you want. Journey's up there playing again. It's like she's moving the furniture to play Twister.
I think she's trying to get Cleo to get exercise in. So this is like, this is your perfect everyday drinker. It is something that you can easily slam. You can bring this to a party and everyone will be happy.
Yeah.
This is a crowd pleaser to the fullest extent.
Yeah. And it doesn't burn to the point where people are going to get turned off.
Right.
So it's good. It's a nice appeal to it. From a label branding perspective, obviously I love the buffalo on it. I'm a little partial to that, of course. So, but I like how it's just like a little, it's like a scar aspect to it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's not like a full, you know how people get the tattoo of like claw marks? That's kind of cool. With the buffalo underneath, and it's black and white, which is cool because it pays homage to kind of like how old everything is, which is nice. They got the buffalo in the middle of Buffalo and Trace.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Yep, and of course the buffalo's traced out,
but they have they have no relation to Buffalo, New York.
Correct.
Not at all.
None.
If you go back to our interview that we did with Buffalo Distilling, they actually talked about a cease and desist order that they got from Buffalo Trace because Buffalo Distilling wanted to call their bourbon Buffalo Bourbon, and then they got a cease and desist because it was too closely to Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
That's where the 1 foot cock came from. Go back to our first episode to figure out what that means. Killed it. Right from the beginning.
Yeah, which, mind you, we've come a long way since our first episode.
Yeah, don't go back to the first episode. Yeah. We brought back the folding table. It was bad, dude.
It was a good time. We were figuring it out. So I give this label branding, obviously it's recognizable. Everybody knows the name Buffalo Trace. I'm going to give this an A++ checkmark.
Okay. I like that. I like the extra checkmark because of the fact that this is a well-known, highly produced whiskey brand distillery that uses a cork still. Because I'm still salty about the twist tops.
I hear you. I'm with that.
There's no reason for that.
I'm with that.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable behavior. All right. Nose. This is going to score high because of the complexities within this.
There's a lot of honey to this nose.
Oh, yeah.
So
A lot of honey, vanilla, and caramel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a straight classic.
It's a very easy bourbon to get.
Yeah, this is the stereotypical bourbon. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, your nose is supposed to be this. This is what this is. It's supposed to taste like this. This is what it tastes like. Like, it's not out of the norm. It's not going to throw you for a loop. It doesn't have any hidden treasures. It's just a perfect everyday bourbon that you can sip on at a party, feel a little classy with, you know, cheers everybody, and then kind of steal the show because you know what you spent, right? You spent $30 on a quality product, but then everybody who's tasting this thinks this is world class. And to their point, it is. Buffalo Trace has won more medals than it's even... It's insane. You literally have to keep scrolling to see how many medals that this whiskey has won. And there's a reason behind that. This is just unbelievably smooth, and it's a really nice compliment to any event.
Yeah.
I could drink this on a hot day.
Absolutely.
Which is 100%. Pretty interesting to say, because most people don't even, you know, they wouldn't pair this with a cigar on a hot day. Most people are like, I don't want to smoke a cigar on a hot day. This is something you could drink in all temperatures.
And I try to just find the mash bill for this, because you said it's nowhere to be found. They keep it secret.
Yeah.
With this being a bourbon, we know that it has to be at least 51% corn. I'm not tasting any sweetness from the corn at all.
No, it's
this is full honey.
Yeah, it's thought to be 10% or less.
Not of corn. Of barley, yeah.
Yep.
Or rye.
Correct.
I think, yeah.
So that's pretty much all we know about the mash bill.
Is that the rye is 10% or less, which you can tell because
but
this
it's
has,
confidential.
This
yeah.
has no pepper taste to it. It goes down so smooth with the honey up front. All right.
Well, hold on.
Before we get too carried away,
A plus, check mark, check mark.
I was just going to say, same thing for the label and branding. This is a top contender right here.
This is good, man.
Yeah. I love how we're going to do this birthday episode, and we're going to get everything wrong.
Honey. All right, so initial taste, we have honey. Up front, it's just such a high hug. The ending note is where you really get the burn.
Are you getting kind of like a candy corn? Like a honey candy corn, like that candied taste to it.
I think it's from the wood sugars. But yeah, I would say that. I agree. So honey and then I would say wood sugar would make sense for it. Overall rating, I would still go double plus, double check mark.
Mm-hmm.
This is mint.
Let's keep it consistent.
Ending note, I'm getting the pepper.
See, I'm not getting a pepper.
At the end of the ending note, you got the high hug that slowly starts to travel to a medium hug, and then that's where you get the pepper when it transitions like that. Because it'll sit in your mouth with the oils, right? But then as it starts to dilute inside your mouth, and your saliva starts to kick in because you're still drinking bourbon, that's when the pepper comes in for me. It's not a lot. It's very faint, but it's there. It's definitely there.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like...
There's not even, like, a char. There's no baking spice. There's nothing. It's just...
If you think of it, and maybe this is, like, a placebo effect thing where I'm thinking of it and it's coming to fruition, but... I feel like I can taste a tiny, tiny bit of cherry at the end. This is just... The thing with this is you don't want to wait for the ending note to kick in because you just want that other initial sip. For me, this bourbon is going to get a high rating solely because of the nose and the initial sip.
I agree.
I don't even... Like, I can't point out the ending notes because I don't care about the ending notes because I want another initial sip.
It's kind of just like an oil and a pepper on the ending note. That's pretty much all it is. I can't nail down what that other bit is.
Yeah, can you give me some more of that? And do we have the Dapper Dew out?
No, you're not allowed to have more.
Oh, the Dapper Dew's behind the camera.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm interested to see because this is, you're right, this is definitely an oily whiskey. But see if we put a little bit of the reverse osmosis distilled water made from water from the Hemlock Lake, if that matters, and brings out some different flavors. Because the ending note is a little bit left to be desired, I should say. Because I feel like with the such prominence they put in the nose and the initial taste of those delicious honey, vanilla, caramel, wood sugar initial taste. That's not translating for me for the ending note. So it's going to be interesting to see what this really comes out as and if this oil or the water affects it at all. On the nose, the water gives it even more of a sweeter smell. So I think the water brought out some of the caramel or the corn notes to it. Do you want to try some or no?
Yeah, well, I can't.
It brings out some of the corn, so it's even more of a sweeter nose to me with the water.
This is driving me bonkers, man. Like, I can't nail it down.
Yeah, the water didn't do anything. It brought out some of the, it got rid of the vanilla completely for me. And now all I'm tasting is vanilla, caramel, and corn. It's bringing me back to that sweetness of the corn.
Yeah.
This is probably like a 60 to 70% corn mash bill. But like it still doesn't do anything for the way it goes down. This is bothering me. Why I can't think of anything. But yeah, I think that from right now we can just say it's a thicker pepper, but like the pepper is so minuscule that you can't really.
Yeah, it's nothing.
You can't attribute it to the rye.
I would just say it's like an oil.
Yeah. Yeah, this is tough. You could probably put pepper on there. I can see where you're getting pepper.
It's faint, but it's there. And that's the only thing I can
pick up. It's definitely not like a rye pepper.
No, not at all. But it's a faint pepper that just kind of lingers like a medium hug. And then it just dissipates and it's gone. And then that's it. All you want is the initial taste. I'm going to give this an A++.
Hold on. You know what I'm thinking of? Leather.
Really?
That's what it tastes to me on the end, is leather. Because it's that, like, oily. This is going to sound so weird, but it's like this oily, nonchalant, luxurious taste on the end that doesn't give you a certain flavor profile. Like, leather doesn't have a. I don't know, man, but that's what I'm thinking of right now, is it's just like a leather shoe going down.
But in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the oils just coat your mouth.
Yeah. That's probably why I'm thinking of leather, too, is because...
Look at that, man. Like, there's oils everywhere.
Yeah, you don't think of leather as being a, like, fruity taste.
Or no, not at all.
To me, I'm getting leather on this. I'm going to take to the Oogles again and see what some other people say.
What would you rate this? A++?
Yeah.
All right, final rating.
Vanilla, mint, and molasses.
I'm not getting any of that.
No. Pleasantly sweet to the taste with notes of brown sugar and spice that give way to oak, toffee, dark fruit, and anise. Maybe anise is what I was thinking of. This whiskey finishes long and smooth with serious depth.
I don't know what anise is. I mean, kind of a toffee instead of an oil. Like, if I had to pinpoint what the oils would taste like, it would be more of a toffee, but I still wouldn't... I don't know. I can't pick that up. I'm just going to start going to Wegmans. And then start eating random things to try to figure that out.
Yeah, to me, and maybe I'm trying too hard right now with the water in it. Maybe
yeah,
the water
isn't too
much.
It's a faint. I'm going to put toffee because it does make sense, but I'm not going to say it's prominent.
Yeah, I would say toffee and leather is an ending note.
Yeah.
So I'm still getting some leather.
Final rating. Give me the countdown.
3, 2, 1.
92.5.
I like it. That's pretty consistent with what we've been saying. I would put this ahead of Jack Daniels.
Would you?
Yeah.
Barely.
Which it is. 92.5. It's only 1 point better than Jack Daniels.
You know, it's a half point.
Our initial taste, like our whiskey reviews, the A-pluses and all that stuff, that's very subjective. But with the final rating, we've been pretty consistent on what we feel like these rank up next to each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see this birthday episode. So if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, go tune in. In the 52nd episode where we finally reached a year, we've been going at this, dude, for like 10 months now. It's crazy how far we've come in 10 months.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's insane. But for our birthday episode, we are planning on doing a whiskey tasting where we're going to have Journey pour some shot glasses for us, and we're going to taste the main players, really. So we're going to try to get some Devil's River, Jim Beam, Jack Daniel's, Crown Royal, Buffalo Trace, and see if we can, while we're on the spot, pick which one's which or which one we like better. That's going to be very interesting to me.
I agree.
All right, Mike, close this out so you can get home and take care of your poison ivy.
Yeah, dude, it's literally growing on my forearm as we speak. Well, anyways, follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook with our Facebook page. Can you stop moving because of your chair?
Yeah, dude, goodness. We've gained like 10 subscribers in the past like 10 days.
Yeah, we're growing.
We're killing it.
Yeah, so appreciate all support. But yeah, so we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on every major podcast platform that you can think of. We're definitely not camera shy. That's why we love our YouTube videos, because we are able to showcase all different features and aspects of what we do. And we have a lot of interviews coming up, so definitely be on the lookout for those. And we appreciate all your support. This has been episode 44, Derek.
Been episode 44. If you haven't gotten a shirt yet, let us know, because we have like, what, 15 shirts left out of the 50?
Yeah.
So let us know if you want any small, medium, or larges. And yeah, that's it, man.
That's it.
It's been episode 44, Mike.
We will see you next week, y'all.
We're out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.